Conversations with Joan Lewis.
So, Joan, the big story this past few days was the Pope's message for the World Day of Peace, which this year focused on the family, no?
It did. And focused, actually, I mean, on the human family, too, a community of love. It was really, it's a very readable, very short speech. It's very readable because Pope Benedict wrote it. And everything he...
Clarity.
The clarity is absolutely the hallmark of what he writes and his speeches and everything else. And it's like 3,100 words. It's readable in a very short period of time. Anybody who has a family, and we are all members of families, our blood families and other communities, our work community, as you and I are colleagues here and so forth, and then the larger community of a city or a state or whatever. So the idea of a human family, the Holy Father actually starts with the human family of marriage, a man and a woman, and procreation, and they're having children. And he insists throughout the document that the family must be protected at all time. In fact, I would urge listeners to read number 5 of the document. It's on a very important question of anybody who, even unawares, puts an obstacle into the path of a family staying together, of the parents being teachers, of a family having employment. Anybody who puts an obstacle in the road to parents having children is actually harming the greatest agency of peace, which is what the Pope calls the family. He calls them teachers of peace and agency of peace. But interestingly enough, to kind of divide the document into two parts, actually, the first part of the message highlights the meaning and the value of the connection between the family and peace. So if you take away some of the things I was saying a minute ago, don't allow a family to educate their children or to have children or make it difficult for them to get employment or homes or whatever, you are taking this primary agent of peace and making life very difficult for them, and then that has kind of a ripple effect naturally in society. So the first part is the connection between the family and peace. And the second part of this message is the human family in relation to a series of problems that directly concern peace. And it's interesting because in these problems, the Holy Father talks about ecology and the environment and the need to protect the environment, that the environment and measures that will protect it must be done not out of a political interest or the interest of a party or something else like that, but it must be decided on a very rational basis. But he did say very clearly that this must be done, of course, take care of the environment. The earth is our home. This is what God has given us as our planet, our home. But he said the environment and taking care of the earth do not come before taking care of human beings and the family, be it the blood family, husband, wife, children, or be it the larger community family. So he talked at length about, and that's a very interesting part of the document to read. Again, it's not long, so you can become very well informed on what the Holy Father, therefore the Church, thinks on this. And then another aspect in the second part of the document where we're saying this is the problems that the family in relation to problems that concern peace, he does get into the arms race. And he's saying how does this affect the family? Very logically, if you think about it. The money that many, many nations, and especially developing nations, are putting into the arms race when it should be spent for disarmament, we should disarm. That money could go to families for assistance. It could help people get jobs. Very basic needs. So the Vatican, the Church has talked about this for years, so there's nothing new in that that respect. But basically the Pope was condemning, if you will, the destructive effect of military spending. And Cardinal Renato Martino, when he presented the Pope's message at the press office this week, he listed, I don't have them all with me now, but he listed some of the mind-boggling figures which have to do with the arms race, the spending on weapons and everything else. And the main thing is you've got your nations, which are already considered prosperous, the industrially developed nations who profit from the arms rulers and the from the arms trade, I mean, And then you've got the rulers of poorer countries. They want to keep their grasp on power, and they think they can do so by maybe getting involved in the arms race. And so you're just taking money away from the people that you should help. So
Joan, this was the 40th anniversary of the Pope's World Day of Peace message. No, it was started by Paul VI.
Exactly, the 40th.
40 years.
It's really astonishing. And what a wonderful initiative. And I did not pursue, I meant to, but what made him think of this? And, of course, then the fact that it was obviously the first message became tradition.
Well, we'll let our listeners know that.
Yes.
On another program.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also one thing that the Holy Father highlighted in addition to what you just said. At the end of his letter, his message for World Peace Day, he highlighted that anniversary, and he highlighted also the fact that 2008, actually, kind of beginning in this December, we're at the vigil of the beginning of the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was signed, I think it was like December 10th, 1948. So 2008 will mark that anniversary, a very big one, and I think you're going to see an awful lot of interventions on the part of the Holy See and the Holy Father regarding human rights through 2008. I don't know whether he's going to write a specific document on it but that's just my feeling. That's the way the Vatican works, obviously, for anniversaries.
So, Joan, we're running out of time here. Do you want to speak about last weekend's celebration?
Sure. The other big event, obviously, was the celebration on Saturday, December 8th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it's a holiday throughout Italy. And the Holy Father had the Angelus that day. He goes to the Piazza di Spagna in the afternoon to lay a bouquet at the base of the column that has a statue of Mary. And, of course, the Spanish Steps are so called, or Piazza di Spagna, because the Spanish Embassy of the Holy See recently renovated and beautifully done. All sorts of beautiful
things. And it rained, didn't it?
And actually, it poured the next day. It had kind of rained a little bit in the morning. It was okay, basically, for the Holy Father's visit in the afternoon, and because we've had an awful lot of bad and cold weather. But there were two Angeluses. There was one last Sunday, but probably the most memorable words
was the Saturday morning.
Was the Saturday Angelus, and that was wonderful. The Pope talked about consumerism, children. He said adolescents, young people, even children, fall victims to the corruption of love taken in by unscrupulous adults who lead them down these blind alleys of consumerism. And he said even sacred things such as the human body, which is the temple of God and of love and of life, these become products just for consumption. And I thought his best words when he talked about this, you know, children being led into this, even at this pre-adolescence age. But he said how sad it is when children lose their sense of wonder. And he said the enchantment of the most beautiful feelings, the value of respect for the body, which is the manifestation of the individual and his or her unfathomable mysteries. So harsh words against consumerism. And the real irony is he was saying these words about 100 feet, 50 feet from the toniest street and the toniest stores in Rome, all your high names in fashion, be it luggage, jewelry, clothing, whatever. You know, he was at Piazza di Spagna. It's known for its very high fashion, very expensive stores. So his message was being given in an ironic setting in a way, but in the proper setting in another way. So that was another big day for the Holy Father. It's always a very beautiful day, to be honest with you. And Sunday, of course, was the second Sunday of Advent. He had another Angelus on that Sunday, and he's had just various other things during the week. Oh, one wonderful thing, but it didn't involve the Holy Father. Monday there was a Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, 10:30, for 5,000 members of the Italian Air Force. I was crossing the square. The entire north half of St. Peter's Square was filled with buses and vans, because it's the Feast of Our Lady of Loreto.
And she's the patroness.
And she's the patroness of aviators and particularly of the Air Force. And I don't know if you remember, but in 1992, on December 10th, John Paul II celebrated Mass at a hangar in Rome's Fiumicino Airport, became the first pope to ever celebrate Mass in an airplane hangar. And he did it at Fiume Junior Airport. Four aviators, there were Air Force people present, but particularly because Fiumicino Airport, Leonardo da Vinci Airport in Rome, is the airport from which most popes leave on their international trips. So, but Monday was kind of a lot of fun to be in St. Peter's Square, see all these men and women in the Air Force and wearing their uniforms and participating in this mass. The Military Ordinary for Italy said the mass, but anyway, they enjoyed the day immensely, and it was wonderful to see that celebration. So we've had, in a three-day period, I guess it is, the Immaculate Conception on the 8th, Our Lady of Lourdes on the 10th.
Our Lady of
Loreto on the 10th, and then our the Lady of Guadalupe on the 12th. And so a big week for different feast days of Our Lady, indeed. But and then we've got all the Christmas celebrations coming up, and we have a Mass with the Holy Father and students. He doesn't say the Mass. He will greet students. And a lot of the traditional exchange of Christmas greetings with members of the Roman Curia. So all those traditional appointments are on our agenda in coming days.
You can tell us more about that next week, Jane.
Indeed, we will do that.